This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Stephen Quartermain is a news and sports presenter with Channel 10, a veteran, I could almost say, news and sports presenter at Channel 10. He won't like that at all. Stephen, good morning.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Didn't think you'd enjoy it, mate. Before we get to the bashing balls around with a bat, it is a sad story to read that James feels under that sort of pressure.
It's taken another turn, hasn't it? And an awful turn. Look, I've known James since he started playing football. We're not close friends by any stretch, but he's one of the strongest men I've ever met. And he would. This would sort of be the last thing I thought would ever happen to someone like James. So it just shows you no one is immune. And it is terribly sad. And I think we all have to remember now that it's not about football. It's not about, you know, juicy media stories. This is about now James' health and the welfare of James and the welfare of his wife and the welfare of his four children. Mm.
Stephen, I have to ask: does the media, and I speak quite generally, us included, have to take some responsibility for this just relentless and ongoing pressure on James and his family around what was a fairly scandalous couple of years at Essendon?
Well, I don't say media needs to take responsibility. The media needs to be very careful, particularly now, on how they report this. I mean, it was the biggest story in football history. It wasn't started by the media. It was started by the Essendon Football Club. But it has gone to another level. So now we have to be extremely mindful of how we cover this story. Yes, the media has been camped outside Tanya's and James' house, and it has been on dozens of occasions over the last 4 years. That's an unfortunate byproduct of the media world we live in. It doesn't just happen in Melbourne; it happens throughout the world. It's not ideal. Yeah, but. I'm not sure about taking responsibility, but certainly now that we have to be very mindful and respectful
of how we treat this story,
and make sure that their privacy is respected.
Well, certainly for the sake of, you mentioned Tanya, his wife, and the kids, I think this must put a great deal of pressure on young people seeing this go through. I did mention before that if anyone's listening having any issues with their own self, 13 11 14 is the number for Lifeline, 13 11 14, or if you'd prefer the gay and lesbian switchboard on 1-800-184-527.
And they both do great jobs, by
they
the way.
Do.
That's right. There's also the Men's Line Australia, which is 1-300-78-9978 as well.
Stephen, the footballing community, I'm assuming, is rallying behind James, regardless of let's take the doping scandal off the table for a moment. This has now become a very personal issue, and he's certainly well respected by a great many former and current players, coaches, and administrators. Will the community get behind him and support him through this time?
The football community is, from my experience, is second to none. When one of their own is in need, there's no better organisation than the AFL. And a lot of people might laugh at that, given the fact that Essendon and James and the AFL have been pretty much at war over the last 4 years. But when one of their own, particularly such a high-profile one of their own, is in need, to be involved in the football community is absolutely invaluable, because they will do everything and anything that's needed to not only help James but help his family and help him get over this. So it's a very good industry to be in when someone is in need. And, yeah, it's terrific. There's so many wonderful people in football. I mean, sometimes the public only sees one side of it, you know, and they pick up the paper and they see the scandal after scandal. But I can tell you, the football community does so much good work. 95% of it goes unheard of. So James is lucky in the respect that he's got some terrific people, not only at Essendon, but all around the football world, that will be able to help him if he wants and seeks that help.
Sorry, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, Quartus, just very quickly, I know it's obviously quite a complex subject, but when do you think it really got really tough for Hurdy, where actually this started to become one of the only things he could potentially consider?
Sorry, I missed the last part of that question.
So when do you think things got really difficult for Hurdy? That, you know, that what do you think was the instigator for this to happen?
Well, only James would really know that. I'm just looking from afar. But look, obviously, the 4 years of the personal toll, look, he's a very proud man, and he was a huge Essendon man. So he's obviously, he feels he's let the club down. Of course, he's been through endless court cases, and that's been very expensive for James.
I was going to say, great financial as well as emotional costs.
Oh, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's had the public humiliation of losing those cases and being accused of letting the club down and the players down. So it's multi-pronged, I guess, how James would be feeling. And it's just a cumulative thing, I would suggest, that Venger's brought him down. He's been overseas, and there's been a lot of stuff being gossiped and speculated behind the scenes, which I won't go into.
Yeah,
look, to be honest, a lot of that stuff which has gone around, and unfortunately some of it's been put out there on social media, which is, you know, which is the modern form of the coward's castle. There's not much media can do about it, but a lot of stuff has gone, a lot of the speculation gossip has gone unreported. I mean, stories have been attempted to be sold, and whether they're right, wrong, or whatever, the media, to their credit in that respect, have not touched those. But look, I'm just guessing a lot of the stuff that's been going on, but I think it's just a cumulative thing with so many things that have gone skew, if I guess, over the last 4 years. And you know, even, as I said, James is one of the strongest, proudest, toughest men you'll ever meet, and for it to have affected James in this way, it just shows you that no one is immune, and no one is a superhero.
Yeah, I think we're all human at the end of the day. We're all people.
Correct.
Of course, yeah, he's a football god, but he's just a human being like the rest of us.
But then you look at people like Ben Cousins and Brendan Favola, with also very public struggles around around their own personal demons, and I think it's you're right about the footy community being in some senses quite a safe place for them to be given those circumstances. Don't want to dwell on it, but we certainly do wish him the best, and we're keen to talk to you, Stephen, because we know that you're a respectful journalist, if nothing else. Let's move to cricket, because I know it's something that you're fond of, and I want to start with the Big Bash. There's been some interesting numbers around the Big Bash and attendance and this week. So I was curious to pick your brain, I suppose, around the success of the Big Bash is probably exceeding most people's expectations.
It has been enormous. Look, it started off on Foxtel, was it 5 or 6 years ago now? And from the start, even I was watching it just as a product, and I thought, you know, this has got great potential. And the first thing that struck me was that, I can speak from experience, my wife and my daughter both loathe cricket with a passion, but they were interested and they were attracted by the Big Bash. I think it's the formula, the big hitting, the colour, the movement, and the fact that it only goes for 3 hours. And the first thing that struck me about the Big Bash is when you go to it was like an AFL match. It wasn't predominantly men. The great thing about the AFL is it's pretty much 50-50 male-female. And you look at the Big Bash, all you see at the Big Bash are fathers, sons, daughters, wives. And it's a 50-50 pretty much split audience. And that's what I think's made it so successful. It is a very clean, fun, safe family night out. And that obviously attracts spectators and TV viewers.
Sorry, Megan.
I was going to say it's very colourful as well.
Yeah, look, you go to a game. I'm not sure if you guys have been to a game, but the ball just flies everywhere, and there's fireworks, and as I said, big hitting, great fielding, great coloured outfits, and people make go to the effort to get dressed up in the crowd. Lots of music, so it's just a fabulous 3 hours out.
As a non-cricket person, I'm a bit with I'm in Paige's camp here, mate, that I'm not a big cricket person, but
yes, I'm well aware of that.
I have been, and it is quite a spectacle. It's really good fun. It's a great energy. I took our son, and he had a bowl, and you know, it's a very fun thing to be a part of. Very high energy, and as you say, it's like an AFL game. 3 hours later, you're done. It's not a 5 day slow bleed.
Correct.
It's quite quick.
Yeah, and the numbers have been huge. You know, the crowds have been great. The ratings have been great. And look, it's just going from strength to strength. And 10 have got it for another 2 years, but they got it pretty cheap now. When you look back at it, the next rights, which I think will probably start being negotiated in about March or April this year, it's going to certainly balloon out.
And the women's version of the game as well, the women's Big Bash. It's also
and going well, and the numbers. They're consistently, I'm just going off the top of it, I think that the women's games are rating about 350,000 on television, which is huge for women's sport, and it's just a it's growing so quickly, and that the women now are becoming professional, not semi-professional, and their skills are amazing. We've got, for example, a girl like Meg Lanning.
Meg Lanning,
absolute superstar.
Yeah.
She's a cracker, and so that's growing rapidly. So that's the burgeoning TV sport, and you've got the women's football starting, of course, very soon. That's going to be enormous. You've got the new women's netball series, which is coming out on the Nine Network. That's also gone professional. So women's sport is rapidly growing, and that's only a good thing.
And I'm hoping, Stephen, with the growth of women's sport and the growth in ratings on television, that we might actually start to see women being rewarded financially for the participation.
Exactly. Yeah, as I said, well, it's now, if not professional, it's certainly semi-professional. The cricketers and the footballers, the netballers, the soccer players, they're all starting to earn, not pretty much, most of them aren't earning a wage that they could live off, but it's growing. And you've got to take baby steps. And everyone's saying, well, why aren't the women earning the same as the men? Well, that doesn't happen until it equates into TV ratings and attendances. But it is going in the right direction. And I would say if it continues to go that way, within 5 years, we will have lots
some sort of parity.
I don't think parity yet, but within 5 years, cricketers, footballers, soccer players will be earning good salaries that they can live on, and that allow them to become fully professional, which means they'll only get better.
And household names. We'll be talking the likes of Meg Lanning.
Wait for the football. I guarantee you, wait for the football in a couple of weeks when it starts. Not an
oh, I'm so looking
there
forward to it.
There will be some superstars.
Very quickly, I know it's not your sport. I know you have no care for it whatsoever, but a big summer of tennis ahead of us.
Look, I used to love tennis with a passion, but to be honest, I have gone off the sport over the last five or so years.
What's happening? I find it
very robotic. I find it very colourless, and I'm sick of the behaviour of certain players.
Right.
Not all of them, don't get me wrong.
Those that shall not be named.
People like Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, absolute out-and-out gentlemen and champions. So I'm not putting everyone in that. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
But I found the sport, it's full of prats at the moment, to be honest, and I find it very robotic and very insular. And, it's just my personal opinion. I think that can be changed around.
But I think it can. It's got to have the right person at the
helm. I've just fallen out of love with tennis a bit at the moment.
I won't press you any further on it. Anything else happening in sport? We've got a minute to go. Is there anything else happening in sport we should know of today?
Well, just the test match, which it looks like Australia's going to win. And then, I guess, as I said, we're all gearing up now for the football season, both women's and men's, and that'll start sooner than we know. And all of a sudden it'll be winter and we'll be eating steaks and drinking red wine by the fire.
And we are not going to talk about my football team. I believe yours is looking for another successful year. In your opinion, mine certainly not.
Go Hawks.
Indeed.
Go
Stephen Quartermain, sports presenter on Channel 10. Newsreader and sports presenter on Channel 10. It's good to talk to you as always, mate.
Pleasure, guys. Cheers. Happy
and I hope that I hope you've had an uncorked new year.
I have, as you well know.
Good stuff, mate. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
There you go.
Stephen Quartermain. I had to put in that corked reference. I had dinner with him not long ago, and we had a corked bottle of wine.
I was actually going to want to ask him, and I didn't get the chance, about the pay disparity between female tennis players and male tennis players.
Which is almost disappearing.
That's right, because that's what's been around for quite a while.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.